Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Insight Wednesday, April the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2018. And I'm kind of looking forward to this day because Concordia Mission Society, with which I'm affiliated, we know we put out the Good News magazine, an excellent publication by Wallace Schultz and his wife. And we also support missionaries in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan and are going into other areas of the world. We're having our annual get-together meeting this afternoon, and we've got people coming from around the country, and we're even going to have representative from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Mission Group to help us take a look at how we might be able to help the Synod a little bit more with donations, contributions, and grants for mission work. So please keep us in your prayers. That'll be taking place this afternoon. Right now, though, it's Insight Wednesday, and we're going to move the discussion to something that I talked about on the promo, if you heard about it. I'm going to begin by indicating I received this. It was a really good essay. But it begins by talking about the New Yorker. That's that publication in New York. And it is very critical of Chick-fil-A. In fact, it talks about its infiltration of New York City. Now, I just heard a statistic that a restaurant has now surpassed not only McDonald's, but all other restaurants in people attending. And guess what that restaurant is? Chick-fil-A. It kind of infiltrated Chicago also. And the mayor said, we don't need those kinds of people in our city. And we can thank the mayor for really helping Chick-fil-A become even more popular. And why was he against it is much the same reason why the New Yorker is against Chick-fil-A, because of its Christian tone again and again. You see, the New Yorker printed that it's not just its headquarters in Atlanta, which are adorned with Bible verses and a statue of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, with its stores closed on Sundays. And then the writer said, and listen to the restaurant's corporate purpose, beginning with the words, to glorify God. Now, only a progressive, a liberal, would be against Christianity because it starts its business to glorify God. Can you imagine Bach, the great organist? That's kind of what he put on all the pieces that he wrote to the glory of God. And yet I'll bet you some of these people go and listen to the symphony when they are playing Bach pieces, etc. So obviously there's just a little bit of, shall we say, backwardness and not really understanding. But this article really doesn't understand. The author really is angry with Chick-fil-A, because the company's CEO, chief executive officer, opposes same-sex marriage. When somebody read this article, he made the conclusion, it's articles like this is why President Trump won the election. Because religious bigotry is always dangerous. But what I found really interesting about this article is that it went into a deeper problem here, which is a difficult endemic to today's secular liberals. It is an all too frequent weird refusal to acknowledge the demographics of Christianity. The what? You mean that they're Democrats? No. Demographics refers to what are Christians, who are they? What groups are they made up of? And the point of the article is when you mock Christians, you're not mocking who you think you are mocking. And that's what really I want to talk about today. First of all, according to a Pew Research Center study of race and ethnicity among U.S. religions, in the first place, if you're mocking Christians, you're mostly mocking women, because women are more likely than men to be Christians. But the greatest disproportion is found among black Christians, with only 41% of them who are male. So you know what you're doing when you're mocking Christianity, according to this article? I found it really interesting. You're mocking black women in particular. What the survey found out is that people of color are more likely than whites to be Christians. And also, they're fairly devout Christians. Moreover, 83% of black Americans are absolutely certain that God exists. No other group comes close to this figure. In fact, 84% of them describe religion as very important in their lives, in contrast to 64% of white Christians. Black Christians are the most likely to attend services, pray frequently, and read the Bible regularly. Now here's the kicker. Even though the majority of black Christians are Democrats, most believe that their faith is the place to look for answers to questions about what is right and what is wrong. And they believe that the Bible is the literally inerrant word of God. So if you're attacking Christian traditionalism, you're really attacking black women. It's true. Politically, black Americans are overwhelmingly Democrats, and that's true of black Christians as well. But at the same time, the survey showed that black Christians tend to be socially conservative, the least tolerant of homosexuality, the most likely to oppose same-sex marriage, and the least likely to believe in evolution. Now, I'm going to tell you why I found this article so fascinating. For 28 years, I pastored St. James Evangelical Lutheran Church in University City. The high school is only a few blocks away from us, and over 80% of the students in the high school were black. And I would say 60% of my adult instruction class had blacks coming in. We had a black congregation not very far from us, and one of the women had her kids attending our vacation Bible school and fell in love with Lutheranism. And we had a little practice we did at St. James. I enjoyed doing Bible studies in the homes of members. Now here's how we worked it. We would have members sign up. And we would do this on Sundays, say between 5 in the afternoon and 8 at night. And they would invite people from the neighborhood to attend the Bible study, and then they would have some food to eat afterwards, sandwiches or drinks, this sort of thing. And I do remember that some from this other congregation would sign up for this. I remember one time we had like 25 people in their basement from the neighborhood. And a number of them began coming to our adult instruction and joined St. James. Now, I don't know their all of their political kinds of things, but I'm pretty sure most of them were Democrats. But we did not have a black in our congregation that was pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, or believed in evolution. They were very conservative in those areas. They were primarily Democrat, as I talked to them, because of the unions. They had been helped out quite a bit by unions in the old days, etc. But I could really count on these new members who are black, and a number of them, a number of the families, it was just the mother. Sometimes she was holding down two jobs. But in those families where the husband was living at home with them, they were just excellent families in order to bring their children to Sunday school, vacation Bible school. And we had a parochial school, Emmanuel Lutheran, all of that, where at one time we had over 40 children going there. The fact of the matter is, when I read this article, I did not doubt it at all because I've experienced it. It's just I had never really thought about when the liberal press and progressives attack Christianity, the primary group they're attacking are black women. Because just take a look at the stats. Even in the U.S. and Europe, the article goes on, it sees a growth of atheism and agnosticism. But religious faith in general, and Christianity in particular, continue to explode in parts of the world that are not white. For example, we in our church have over 2 million people. On the island of Madagascar, there are over 6 million Lutherans, just on an island. Now, it's a big island. In fact, the Vatican has come out saying that developing nations are the future of the church. And if you take a look around the globe, the people most likely to be Christians are women of color. This is really something we need to understand. When you hear someone mocking the Christian faith in regard to being against homosexuality, abortion, evolution, gay marriage, and so forth, you need to remind them who they are mocking. Because generally they're mocking black women. That's the largest proportional group among the various races that are traditional Christians. This narrow-mindedness on the part of the left is really quite common. In fact, a few years ago, a well-known liberal commentator mused to his Twitter following that he wished that all the Christians would just disappear. Maybe he didn't realize it, but if his wish came true, we would have a much more whiter world than we have now. And we know what's happening with many people taking a look at white privilege and this sort of thing. Well, why is it? I was thinking to myself, do black people have such a love for the Bible? One of the things that I liked using was black hymnody. In fact, in our new hymnal, we actually have pieces from the days of slavery. These people needed comfort, and they found that comfort in the Word of God. So when they hear these liberal theologians say, what's in the world of God, what's in the Word of God is not accurate, they're not happy with it at all. I can say, taking a look at the numbers, particularly of people who are listening to Law and Gospel, as well as the emails that I receive, we get them from all, not only religious persuasions, I've got Baptists writing to me, Roman Catholics, Methodists, etc., but also different races. And you know some of the folks who call me on Open Mic Friday. They're individuals who love the Bible, love studying the Bible, and their questions are excellent. In fact, there's been a couple of times when the question was so good, this is what I call a good question, I don't know how to answer it, so I have to wait till the following broadcast to look up the answer. What we need to do is put the progressive liberal folks in their place, that when they attack Christianity, it's something they need to be aware of, that they're basically attacking black women as the largest proportion of the races who love God's word. That's not something I could have said that from my 28 years at St. James Lutheran, but now we have actually Pew Research that takes a look at that. In fact, when you take a look at how many millennials there are, this is another fascinating item that they found out. Only 9% of white Christians are young millennials, compared with 21% of Asian Christians and 16% of Latino Christians. No other group comes close, in other words, because white Christians are aging and Christians of color are youthening. Now, there are obviously congregations, particularly in rural areas, where there may not be many people of color, but that doesn't mean that our entire church does not welcome folks who are of a different race. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we're the largest Lutheran church in the United States, having more blacks than any other Lutheran denomination. That's because, like here in St. Louis, we've got a number of inner city churches that we have not closed down and that we continue to minister to. Well, one of the things I found out, I know when I was a young pastor, I was really encouraged by other pastors to start changing the liturgy and changing the hymnody and make it more, inviting for people of color. I refused to do that. We kept the traditional liturgy. And I remember when black people would come and visit the congregation, and we had many visitors because we would baptize infants who were black, and then all the relatives would come for the baptism. And it was clear they were not very appreciative of our music, because it was so different. It was traditional. It was liturgical. Nobody was raising their hands up in the air or clapping or this kind of thing. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm just saying that's not what we were doing at St. James. And so they did get enticed, though, with the message. They never heard of Law and Gospel as Lutherans preach it. And it wasn't at all unusual to have a number who joined through confirmation. I remember one particular Sunday we had 4 children and 7 adults confirmed, and all but 3 of them were black. Why? Because they love the Bible, and they love hearing Law and Gospel. It is so comforting. It is a message that we don't want to lose. So we reach out, and it depends what neighborhood we're in, and we reach out to the people who are there. At St. James, we not only had people of color, we had Jews who had joined. The biggest group that joined were formerly Southern Baptists, followed by Roman Catholic. And then once we started on KFUO, which was about the last 10 years that I was at St. James, then the adult instruction classes even grew from there. Because KFUO has the message that is comforting for everybody. Because, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the next time you hear somebody criticizing the Christian faith, like those bakers who refuse to bake a cake for a gay wedding, tell them that that criticism is really directed to a large majority of Christians who are black women. And that simply is not appropriate to do. You know, people are getting into a lot of trouble in not treating women equally to men, either in wages or how they talk to them and this sort of thing. People don't realize that a criticism of Christians includes a proportion of black women who are really going through some difficult times, who love God's holy word, and are very traditional in their thinking. And this is from the Pew Research. So let's make it clear that a criticism of Christianity is not only a criticism of Jesus, not only a criticism of God, but it's a criticism of Christians. And is a criticism that ought not be let go. On Friday's Open Mic Friday, you might want to phone in with some maybe events or situations you're involved in that also are in agreement with what I've been saying today. I don't think there's a different message for different races or a different liturgy. Oftentimes, after members who joined adult instruction, even though they didn't like the liturgy, within 3 or 4 months, they really got to like the liturgy, love the liturgy, and even join the choir. It's kind of like you're always going to a buffet that maybe its food isn't as delicious, but it's the only place you go to, so you're used to it. And then all of a sudden you're taken to a restaurant like Ruth's Chris or something like that, where you're served and the meal is really well done. And the first time you go, you may not like it because you're not used to it. But the more you end up going to that place, the more you begin to appreciate it. That's the difference between, as I was talking about on Monday, testing the spirits. Because you want to be attending the congregation where the word of God is preached from the Bible, where the preacher believes the Bible is accurate in everything that it says, even in regard to what is right and what is wrong. And so while the Chicago Mayor and the New Yorker, a publication, are going to demean Christians, we're just really hearing a fulfillment of the promise that Jesus has. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for of such is the kingdom of God. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, We'll have Wes Reimnitz on. We'll be talking about an issue that we hope will be comforting to you. And on Friday, we're going to be having open mics so you can call in with any questions. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.